and welcome to Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast, Episode 19. Today we will discuss the increasing influence of Europe during the time period between 1000 and 1450. That means the regional states in medieval Europe, important social and economic changes, the complexities of medieval Christianity, and a very important topic in world history, the Crusades. If you have any questions, feel free to call the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH, or if you would rather send an email, that is perfectly fine as well. Make sure you send it to mrjeffrion@gmail.com. Okay, let's get started. Towards the end of the Middle Ages, Western Europe was made up mostly of towns and regional communities. However, by the end of this time period, regional states were beginning to develop. While none of these states recreated the ideal dream of Roman reunification, that is, an empire that united the European continent as a whole, they were becoming quite powerful. As we can later see by conflicts arising to establish imperial power, states were, of course, heavily influenced by religion, which in turn created conflicts as well. The Eastern Europe was partially under the control of the declining Byzantine Empire, which will reach its demise in 1453 when it falls to Turkish invaders. While for quite some time, it seemed to have a good thing going for it. However, threats from the surrounding regions had been putting strains on the empire since it had even begun. As Western Europe was becoming more powerful and dynamic, it frequently threatened the authority of the Byzantine Empire, which can especially be seen in the Fourth Crusade, where Italian, or more properly, Venetians, actually sacked Constantinople. However, the Byzantine Empire still persisted for a while, but it suffered a tremendous blow. Turkish people served as a great threat from the east. The Seljuk Turks even seized much of Anatolia, reducing the size of the empire tremendously. Back in Western Europe, a new empire in quotations, which called itself the Holy Roman Empire, but as Voltaire, a French writer, wittily remarked, was neither holy nor Roman nor an empire, created by Otto I, who was actually crowned by Pope John XII, was never actually able to build a strong and dynamic state due to the conflict from the papacy, the hierarchy of the church officials in Rome. However, strong and dynamic states were being created in England and Spain at the time. England was conquered by a Norman invader properly named William the Conqueror in 1066, giving rise to what we know to be the State of England. In Spain, a strong monarchy was developing as well, and in centuries to come, the unification of the two most powerful states by Isabella of Castile and Ferdinand of Aragon created the strong monarchy there as well. Isabella and Ferdinand are also well known for financing the Columbus expedition, as well as completing the Reconquista, the taking of lands that were in the power of Muslims at the time, and reunited under Christianity. While centralized monarchies were developing in this region, in places like Italy, a different type of government structure developed, that of regional, independent, yet intertwined city-states. You may remember the concept of the city-state from learning about the Greeks. It is pretty much a small region, like a city, that governs itself without consideration of a regional population that would be common to a state. These city-states, such as Venice, Florence, Genoa, and Milan, were places of high intellectual and artistic achievement, and were considered to be the birthplace of the Renaissance, which name itself means rebirth. The development of these coastal, hint, remember how important location is, city-states is perhaps most accredited to the Crusades, which allowed for an increase in trade within the Mediterranean. Throughout this time period in Europe, very important changes were occurring, even besides the ones already mentioned about the creation of new forms of government and the political geography of Europe. The population was rising, as well as the growth of cities, which can be referred to as urbanization. Agricultural techniques were improving, and social circumstances were altering. Most of these changes were heavily linked with one another. The most obvious link between that of the population growth and the improved agricultural techniques. After suffering serious devastations from the Black Plague, Europe's population began to steadily return to normal and then increase, due to developments in farming such as better plows and even things as simple as horseshoes lead to more stable food sources. Another link that can be found here, a link heavily discussed even in Paleolithic and Neolithic times, is that when there are food surpluses and a rise in population, the population has the opportunity to stratify, which is exactly what happened in the High Middle Ages. Examples of stratification, the diversity and complexity of the population, include a refocusing in the arts and education, as well as a new interest in the proper behavior of different aspects of society. During the High Middle Ages, a concept known as chivalry arose, which is basically accepted manners and behaviors of noble European society, which encouraged men to be polite, cultivated citizens. When one thinks of chivalry, pictures of knights in shining armor rescuing princesses at the top of towers might come up, and although in reality chivalry was a lot less idealized, I strongly doubt there were many royal princesses being put to sleep or locked in towers at the time, this is kind of what men could strive to behave like. A well-known, highly cultivated woman of her day, Eleanor of Aquitaine, was an influential monarch who supported chivalry and also heavily supported the arts and romantic poetry. Lastly, another change, both heavily economic and social, was the development of guilds. A guild was pretty much a group of workers who participated in the same trade that took charge of production and sales of goods in their various regions. This is fairly similar to a modern-day labor union. They also provided opportunities for social activities and created a strong sense of community as well. Guilds can be accountable for providing medieval cities with the social and economic backbone that they needed to function. Another very important topic that is discussed during this chapter is religion. While we do get a couple mentions of Islam in Iberia, remember in Spain, Europe really only had one major religion during the time, Christianity, specifically Roman Catholicism. Christianity was undergoing some major transformations, and some of them were due to the work of a very important figure in scholastic theology, St. Thomas Aquinas. Scholastic theology, by the way, is pretty much a blend of Christianity and the philosophies of Greeks, such as Aristotle. Although his views were very much religious-based, this is one of the first steps in a societal trend where logic, ration, and reason were either replaced or coexisting with traditional religious values, a trend we will see continue on into the Renaissance. Another big change occurring in Christianity was a reform in the lives of its followers. As times were changing and people were able to gather more wealth and material possessions, monasteries arose as well. Monastic lifestyle became less like the traditional ascetic self-sacrificing lifestyle that was originally intended and more relaxed and a lot more luxurious. Church officials themselves were also acquiring more wealth, and lawyers and bureaucrats who were running the church thought of ways to gather more. So, throughout all of this, certain people sought to reform aspects of the church, especially the lifestyle of the monks. These specific orders of monks are referred to as Franciscans and Dominicans. They put a spiritual lifestyle over a materialistic one and even had to beg for their food. Another big movement in Christianity, particularly the Roman Catholic Church, was the foundations of sacraments, practices of devotion to the church. If you are a Catholic, you should know at least what some of these sacraments are, such as penance. So with a lot of things swaying in the direction away from a pure spiritual lifestyle, often the church was faced with many cases of corruption and greed. There were also important movements that strengthened the piety of the church. Lastly, another religious, social, and political topic to be discussed is the Crusades. The Crusades were religious wars mainly between the Roman Catholic Church and the Dar al-Islam. It all started when Pope Urban II launched the First Crusade, because he wanted to restore the Christian presence in and around Jerusalem, the Holy Land. While there were actually 9 Crusades altogether, knowledge of each separate one and its individual causes and effects is not horribly important for our purposes. What is important is the lasting impact of the Crusades altogether. First of all, they established a large pattern of cultural interaction where many goods and as well as technologies and ideas were exchanged. They also led to the growth of city-states along Italy's coast, as well as other coastal regions along the Mediterranean, where they saw an increase in control and prestige of the papacy, and also led to Muslim dominance of the Holy Land. So here we have reached the end of episode 19, where the increasing influence of Europe was discussed. Remember, it is still very wise and essential to study, read, take notes. and make sure to stay tuned. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffreon's World History Podcast.